This is Jay Sekulow. We hope you had a great Christmas. We're going to talk politics. My guest, Dr. Michael Easley, and we've got a Christmas victory.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We hope and trust you had a great Christmas weekend and getting ready for the New Year's, and we've got a lot to discuss. Our phone lines, by the way, are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. 1 week from today is the Iowa caucus. So for those that have been saying, oh, it's too early to tell, folks, we're a week out from the first caucus and right into New Hampshire, then to South Carolina, then to Florida, all of that happening very, very quickly. So we want to hear where you stand on the politics, where you stand on the candidates, what issues are of concern to you, and how you view the issues. And again, our phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. Ron Paul certainly been in the news. Newt Gingrich not qualifying in Virginia. Accusations of a significant anti-Israel bias coming from former staffers of the Ron Paul campaign. So there's an awful lot to discuss on that issue. I want to give you very quickly, before I introduce our guest, a victory report. We talk about cases at the Supreme Court of the United States. We talk about cases all over the country, all over the world, the International Criminal Court. But how about this one? A kindergartner was reprimanded for handing out for Christmas a pencil that said, Happy Birthday, Jesus, and a bracelet that said, Merry Christmas. Now, the ACLJ went to work on behalf of the parents and this young child, and the end result was we have got a successful resolution of that matter, and those bracelets and those pencils were passed out. The reason I'm saying that is we don't make a big deal about these cases, but we get a lot of these, and we just handle them at the American Center for Law and Justice. You're not going to see a lot of them in newsletters. You're not going to see a lot of them in emails. We may post it from time to time on the website. I think we did this one. But these are easy victories, and I say easy because we've seen the law develop in such a way over the last few years that we have been able to get these resolved quickly. My guest in the studio with me today is Dr. Michael Easley. He is the pastor of Fellowship Church here in Franklin, Tennessee, Nashville area. Also was with Moody Bible Institute as its president. Also pastored in Washington, D.C., and the Washington, D.C. metro area, and as a good friend. Michael, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks for letting me on.
All right, so we are 1 week out, and the politics are coming, and I am sure, you know, we always get the question, you know, what pastors can and cannot say from the pulpit, and that's we know you don't endorse or oppose candidates. But as you look at this election from a biblical perspective, how significant do you think the time we're in?
Well, I think our moral relativism has gotten so out of hand that everything is equal, and a green is as important as life.
Yeah.
And as a pastor, what I try to encourage our folks is to say, you know, come back to moral absolutes, what we know is true, what's right, and not vote your conscience, but vote across a biblical mandate. So a lot of the smoke and mirrors we hear are a compelling green environment, social justice. They're important issues, but I still go back to what's morally relativistic versus what's a moral absolute.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to talk about that, folks. We want to say and hear from you also where you stand on the candidates 1 week out. What do you like? What do you not like? How do you see the Obama administration responding now to the candidates? Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Ron Paul in Israel certainly making news. Newt Gingrich in Virginia making news as well. Again, our phone line's open for you at 800-684-3110. In the studio with me is Michael Easley. We're going to talk about voting from a Christian perspective, what it means, how we deal with it. Let me encourage you to do this, folks. As we take a break, you go to your phones or just go to ACLJ.org. We're in the last week here of our matching challenge. We're close. We're not there yet, and we could really use your help. So if you'd like to make an online donation to the American Center for Law and Justice, whatever you donate is matched. And by the way, a lot of people made gifts of $10, and we've had several that made gifts of $1,000. All of those were matched, and that really helps us out. ACLJ.org is the easy way to do it. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to stand with us at the ACLJ. ACLJ.org, of course, a great way to get location and information. We'll be back with more.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice could not be accomplished without your prayers and support. And now more than ever, we need your assistance. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
This is such a critical time for us as we prepare for numerous legal and legislative challenges in the new year. We need to hear from you now. If you make an online gift between now and the end of the year, it will be matched. That's right, it'll be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please take a moment and make an online gift to the ACLJ right now, a gift that's not only needed, but will be matched and greatly appreciated.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Make your online gift right now, and it will be doubled through the end of the year. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org to help support the vital work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Thank you. The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. Jordan Sekulow brings the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Sekulow is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He tackles the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Jordan is taking your questions live via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulow. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio and live on ACLJ.org. For more information, go to jordansekulow.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Are you for Michelle Bachmann, Rick Santorum, Ron Paul, Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich? Rick Santorum, I said. By the way, they're saying there could be a real surprise here with Rick Santorum doing better in the polls than he thought. They're saying the same about Michelle, actually, Michelle Bachmann in the actual Iowa caucus. Only 140,000 people, by the way, are estimated to respond to the Iowa caucus out of a state of 3 million. But it is the launch before it then goes to New Hampshire. Ron Paul getting a lot of criticism from a former staffer, and I want to say a former staffer, who said that while Ron Paul is not an anti-Semite, he says absolutely no, he does say this: I can categorically say that he never heard anything that was anti-Semitic out of his mouth, but when it comes to Israel, he is not in favor of the Jewish state, according to the staffer. Now, again, this has not been responded to by the campaign other than saying that, in fact, and this is what I find pretty interesting here, he's a former disgruntled staffer. But you've heard Ron Paul's statement on defending Israel, and he basically said he would not defend Israel. In fact, we have that soundbite. We can get that up in a moment. My guest in the studio is Dr. Michael Easley. We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And we are wanting to take your calls. Before I get to your calls, Michael, from the pulpit, as you're getting ready now, we're going to be entering the political season. As I've said on this broadcast many times, you don't get to endorse or oppose candidates. Churches cannot do that. But you're allowed to address the biblical issues of the day. And you just made a statement before the break telling your people, looking more through a biblical lens, because we've got a relativism in the country that is really unprecedented, and I think more so in the last 4 years than probably in our lifetime.
Yeah. Well, coming back to life, of course, coming back to marriage, those values, coming back to we Americanize those, but those are really biblical foundations. If a man and woman are made in the image of God, then I've got to start right there. What's the candidate's view? What do they think about life? This person who is a God image.
On the life issue,
yeah,
it's interesting. All of the candidates on the Republican side are running in a pretty much pro-life platform, which is typical. President Obama will say he's personally, you know, opposed to abortion, yet he's made the statements about Planned Parenthood. It has not gotten a lot of play right now, the life issue. How big of an issue do you think abortion and life should be for Christians in this, just in this political season, but generally?
Top two, three. And this has been, you know, you and I have discussed our father's Oldsmobile. One of our concerns is watch the generations change. They've gotten tired of hearing this argument. Pro-life. We had, 8 years under Reagan. Clinton, abortion, rare and safe,
right,
was his mantra. He did nothing. So, I think, unfortunately, as a parent of four kids, you've got kids, adopted children, you look at these individuals, these are, they bear the image of God. And somehow the pulpit has lost. We've let the media and the fear mongering push us away from this is sacred, and just as marriage as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting because what's happened is, you mentioned the media. The media has, for instance, we've heard nothing about judicial nominees. Now, part of that's because you're in a Republican debate series and they're all going to say they're going to go for a conservative judicial nominees. But in reality, when you look at any of the major issues, whether it's the family, whether it's life, whether it's church-state relations, the Supreme Court plays a huge role in the next president's selecting probably one or two. We've got a tremendous amount of calls coming in from a whole group of people. Let's go right to him. Eddie is calling from Ohio. He is on line three. Hi, Eddie. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
I didn't really have, you know, a specific comment. I can't believe that so many people are going for Romney and Gingrich and Paul and ignoring the only two Christian conservatives that are actually in the race. And frankly, I'm pretty...
You're talking about, who are the two you're talking about? Michelle Bachmann and Rick Santorum?
Yeah, I
think, let me tell you what you have here. First of all, I'm not going to get into the faith distinctives of people that are running. Ron Paul says he's a Christian. All of them are saying it. I don't think that is a place for me to make the determination. But you asked a question about Bachmann and Santorum. Rick Santorum has visited all 99 precincts and counties in Iowa. It's unreal. Michelle Bachmann's doing the same thing. Whether that's taken off or not, it depends on where the American – you know how you take off in a political campaign? You get votes. I mean, that's how this works. And we're not electing a theologian-in-chief. We're electing a commander-in-chief, and, of course, the economy is a big issue. But when you get the question, since I've got you a pastor in the office, should – if I have a dedicated Christian that's running that I may agree with 60% of the time, but definitely has a Christian experience, and there's another candidate that's running – I'm not sure of their faith commitment, but I'm agreeing with them 80% of the time.
I'm going to go for electability and the one who's going to have the highest moral bandwidth for these issues. In other words, do I want a Christian doctor or do I want the best doctor, whether or not they're a believer? I'm going to go for the best physician.
Right.
And I think in the political world, it's the same way. We are not a Judeo-Christian nation in the same sense we'd like it to be. So we're in a different time, different war. So we need an individual, in my opinion, as a pastor, I can say it as well, who can deal with the budget. The what are we talking about? 6% now?
Yeah.
The election will be decided to less than 6%. And so we don't have an electable issue, electability on some of these candidates. We like what they say, but, you know, for whatever reason, popular vote, the numbers of votes, they're not going to vote.
You know, there's a statement that's made, folks. You've heard me say it before, and it's true. I mean, does the person come in and look presidential? And, you know, it's the commanding presence. And I've been around presidents before, and there is an aura, if you will, a charisma, if you will, of support and of command. And part of that command is being able to make the tough decisions. Great question, Eddie, by the way. I like Rick Santorum. I like Michelle Bachmann. Mm-hmm. They're both good people and both good friends of ours. I've represented Michelle. We're representing Michelle Bachmann right now. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to Bob. He's calling from South Carolina. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, listen, all of these candidates have been here to South Carolina. I have been in rooms with Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, and I'll tell you the truth, they're all pretty good. One thing impressed me last week, Newt Gingrich, a friend of mine, I'm a Catholic, and a friend of mine is a Catholic, and he told me, he says, during the week, Newt Gingrich showed up at Mary Magdalene Church in Simpsonville in South Carolina, and he said, Bob, I think this guy has had some kind of conversion. Anyhow, that's also my wife's opinion. Two other things that really get me about this, and I think Newt Gingrich is electable, and I think he would do a good job.
He did not qualify, by the way, so you know, in Virginia, which is his home state, and I think that, didn't mean to cut you off there, Bob, I'll let you finish. I think that's going to create some repercussions for him. Also not in Missouri, and I understand there may be an issue in Ohio, so this is an organization. Look, part of this is organization. He's done unbelievably well in the debates, but you've got to have an organization on the ground. But go ahead, Bob.
Okay, let me finish this last thing. I'm reading this book by David Barton, Original Intent.
Right.
And he these Supreme Courts since 1947 has made these decisions that are absolutely, I mean, they're asinine. There is no justification, and they didn't follow the Founding Fathers or the First Amendment or whatever. And the other thing that really...
But let me tell you this, though. Listen, I've had to litigate these cases, and when I disagree with a justice's opinion, I don't think you get to haul them before the United States Congress and question them. I think that elections have consequences. One of the consequences of an election is the president gets to nominate someone to be a Supreme Court justice, and the Senate has advice and consent on that confirmation. So elections have real consequences, and you don't get to haul a justice of a court or a judge before, unless it's for an impeachment purposes on valid grounds. You just don't get to do that. But nevertheless, we appreciate you calling in. 1-800-684-3110 is our number. That's 800-684-3110. Now, Michael, you're a pastor of a large church. You pastored large churches in the D.C. area as well, besides Moody Bible Institute, no small endeavor there. But you mentioned the electability issue. There will be Christians that will respond and say, I want to vote my conscience or principle, and not so worry about electability. Well, I think that's a mistake personally, because you gotta try to figure out how you're gonna advance the ball forward.
Well,
here,
it's like the third party issue. I mean, in theory, it's great, but it's not going to win an election. And no matter how great or conservative a Christian, quote, close Christian candidate will be, he or she's got to have that electability issue. They've got to have the money. They've got to have the, as you say, the presence, and those are real issues. Unfortunately, we have a flawed system in a secular world, but as believers, we are citizens of two worlds.
All right, so we've heard from Santorum and Perry supporters, a Newt Gingrich supporter. Let's go to Nick, who's calling from New York. He's on line 4. Hi, Nick. Hi, Nick, you're on the air. Evidently, Nick is not on the air, so we will try to get him back on later. Hey, folks, we're going to be taking more of your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Thinking and acting biblically, let me ask you this very quick. Give me the 20-second answer here. Is it fair to say that in thinking and acting biblically, electability plays a role as a pastor?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, they're not opposed to each other.
It's the same. It's a moral decision, but sometimes you can't have everything in one individual. So you're going to make a choice. Am I going to sacrifice an issue that is important to me but not critical or crucial for a larger cause? Our economy, our country, marriage, morality, so forth and so on.
There you have it. Michael Easley, by the way, is pastor of Fellowship Church in Franklin, Tennessee. Actually, Brentwood, I think, is the technical. Is it Franklin? Nashville's even better. We'll be taking more of your calls when we come back. Our lines are jammed. I'm going to get to you, folks, but let me encourage you to do this. Go to aclj.org. We're in our matching challenge. The last few days here, these are the days that count, and we appreciate so many of you have supported our work. Thank you. So many of you supported our work over the weekend, over Christmas weekend on the website. We appreciate it. aclj.org. Remember, any amount you donate is matched. $10 becomes $20. 500 becomes 1,000, 1,000 is 2,000, whatever amount, tax deductible, aclj.org or 877-989-2255.
The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. Jordan Seculo brings the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Seculo is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He tackles the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Jordan is taking your questions live via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Seculo. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio and live on aclj.org. For more information, go to jordanseculo.com. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice could not be accomplished without your prayers and support. And now more than ever, we need your assistance. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
This is such a critical time for us as we prepare for numerous legal and legislative challenges in the new year. We need to hear from you now. If you make an online gift between now and the end of the year, it will be matched. That's right, it'll be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please take a moment and make an online gift to the ACLJ right now, a gift that's not only needed, but will be matched and greatly appreciated.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Make your online gift right now, and it will be doubled through the end of the year. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org to help support the vital work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Thank you.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. 1 week out, and it will be the Iowa caucus. So it is, it has been, as we say in golf, it has been teed up and ready to go. And polls are very, very close. Right now, Ron Paul, on the most recent Real Clear Politics poll, is at 21.5. Romney, a little over 20, which definitely is in the margin of error. Gingrich has dropped down to, I think it was 16 or 17%. And then you've got Santorum, Bachman, kind of in that 10% range. Rick Perry is, I think, and I'll get Will to check this, but I think Rick Perry was in single digits. I'm not 100% sure about that. But we're going to take your calls, and we've got a lot of them. Michael Easley's my guest. He's in the studio with us. Let's go to Jerry. He's calling from Ohio. He's on line six. Hi, Jerry. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi. See, I'm very frustrated with Ron Paul because he claims to be a Christian, but then he wants to go against Israel. I mean, what is he thinking?
Well, let me tell you exactly what he's thinking. Let me play for you what he was asked the question about supporting Israel in the event of a nuclear attack. Megyn Kelly asked the question. He responded. Let's take a listen.
If you were President Paul, and it turned out you were wrong, that Iran did have the bomb and attacked Israel, would you step in?
No. I'd let Israel take care of them. Why should we interfere with Israel? We're always interfering with Israel when they want to deal with their neighbors.
So if you're attacked by Iran, by the way, you're not going to be able to respond. If you've been attacked with a nuclear weapon, Israel's response capabilities will be drastically reduced. Michael, you go to Israel often. I've been there a lot as well. I do a lot of work there. We have an office in Jerusalem. What's your assessment of that one from Ron Paul?
Well, they're, number one, our only ally. And we need them as much as they need us. And so when you're surrounded by less than friendly nations, you better have a good relationship just from an ally point of view, lest you find yourself on the other end of that barrel one day. Where are you going to go when you have to have a Middle East presence?
Well, there's been reports also that he wasn't supportive of entering into World War II. So look, Ron Paul's off. He's obviously hit a chord with a whole group of people, though, because his numbers in Iowa are significant. By the way, I just want to be clear on this. The Real Clear Politics average for Governor Perry is actually 12%. It was Rasmussen that had him at 10%. I'm not sure that we have a clear sense even yet of where that Iowa caucus is going to be. A lot of people are saying they're undecided. All right, we're going to try to get to as many calls as we can here. Go ahead.
You have the knowledge base. Iowa caucuses, how critical is it for the election?
You know, generally, you win the Iowa caucus does not mean you're going to get
right.
The GOP.
You've got to get Florida. You've got to get...
It's going to come down to... This is how it works, though, in this situation. It's a great question. What Iowa does is it's the ticket out.
Right.
So what you get out of Iowa is... 1, 2, and 3 usually are still playing. So whoever gets 1st, 2nd, and 3rd are still in the hunt. New Hampshire's numbers right now look overwhelmingly Mitt Romney.
Sure.
I mean double-digit leads by 20%.
Which makes sense.
It does make sense. He's lived up there. He's met the governor from the neighboring state. Yeah, right. So you got all of that. If Newt Gingrich falls to 4th in Iowa, I think he'd be politically done. Which means then it goes to South Carolina. And it becomes between Romney and who? Well, is it Romney and Bachman if she comes in 1st, 2nd, or 3rd? Is it Romney and Perry? Or is it if Iowa goes to Ron Paul, which could happen, that almost helps Romney because it makes New Hampshire becomes the focus. It's really hard to predict how it's going to go. It could go there's a lawyer's answer. It could be really short and over with at the end of January. It could go all the way through March or April. Let's get some more calls. You'll know a lot more in about 14 days we get past New Hampshire. Let's go to Daryl's calling from Maryland. He's online too. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You know, this is sort of a little off the subject as far as the candidate. My sort of concern was, you know, how the Tea Party were able to manipulate John Boehner. And I think my major concern was how this economy needs to get back in order, how we all need to get our house.
Well, I think the economy issue is issue number one for Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. If the president is a vulnerability, it is the economy issue. If it is, if the Republicans don't have a concise plan, it will be the economy will be an issue. All of this, Michael, really factors into. You said it earlier. Okay, biblical worldview with the economy. Is that a legitimate issue to be looking through a moral lens? Look, you got the Bible open here. Is that a legitimate issue looking it through the scripture?
Yes,
the
and no. Yes and no, attorney's answer.
Very good.
Number one, we're given the injunction to pray for authorities. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy to pray for authorities, those who are kings and rulers over us. But we also find Paul using his citizenship in an interesting passage in Acts. They're about to flog him. And he says, wait a minute, I'm a Roman citizen. So if we step back from there, we have two different angles. We have one, the individual response to say, we're to pray, to seek God's wisdom. So Paul says to live an orderly, quiet life. That's government's role from a theocracy. But we also live in a place where you might get flogged. So Paul throws a trump card, says, wait a minute, I'm a citizen.
Right.
So I think we have both at our disposal. We don't often use the I'm a citizen. And I think that's when your expression to vote, to disagree with candidates is, I'm a citizen of this country. I have a right to say something as American, even though it may not be mainline.
All right, let's go to, I think it's pronounced Gyro at line 3 from Florida. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to put input on, I think that at the end of the day, Newt Gingrich, at the end of the day, has more savviness of how politics works in America and how divisive it can be, because he was there. He was with the contract with America, and somehow, out of all that divisiveness, we had a surplus, and people got out of welfare, and a decent economy. So I think at the end of the day, we don't need somebody to just read cards and promise the world, and they think they're going to change everything when they get there. But Newt Gingrich, even though he has issues with family and wives and so on, I know I'm not perfect, and
sure.
Picking that I'm going to take the religious.
Well, look, I mean, Newt's clearly done well in the debates. Let me ask a question, though, Michael, as a pastor. So he's had a marital history that he's acknowledged as a problem. How significant does that play into the lens of voting?
Well, the evangelical umbrella, there are those who have forgiven him and gone on with it. There are those that still want a pound of flesh. Some think the pretense of going to Mass, as the previous caller said, is just that. It's electability. I got to go to Mass. I got to take my wife in my arm. So to take him at his face value, if he has asked for forgiveness and he has said his mea culpas, to use a colloquial term, then I've got to forgive the guy. I got to say, you know what? He's had some flawed issues. As the caller said, we all are imperfect. Fast forward, do we trust enough history for that moral judgment and the way he can whimsically and so quickly come up with a great, sometimes terse answer? Is that a presidential character that you want? If you're comfortable with that, absolutely vote for him.
Well, I mean, there was he got that whole debate on Israel and saying the Palestinian you know, yeah, was a made-up people group, which historically, I know exactly what he was saying. Politically, did not help Israel at all, because they're trying to you're trying to figure out how to maneuver through this. Folks, I wish we had another 30 minutes today. We don't. We have just run out of time. We're going to be talking about this the rest of the week, though, and maybe I get Michael Easley back in here one of the days this week. I know he's got a lot going on. But again, Michael, thanks for being with us today.
Thank
we
you.
Really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. Folks, let me encourage you to do this. Pray for all these candidates. Pray for the president. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Pray for those in authority and for those that might end up being in authority. I think that's an important thing to be doing as well. And let me encourage you also, as we close out this broadcast, to support our efforts at the ACLJ. If you enjoy this broadcast, if you appreciate our work, whether it's at the Supreme Court or representing that little kindergartner in Pennsylvania, support the work of the ACLJ. Your online tax-deductible gift makes all the difference. And I say that because when you make that gift, we're in a matching challenge. It's the end of the year. We get a match for any amount you donate. So let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Jordan, by the way, is at our office in Moscow, meeting with our lawyers in Moscow right now. And by the way, all the news about Korea, we have an office in South Korea. Again, ACLJ.org for information and support. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Seculo Show. Jordan Seculo provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordanseculo.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Seculo Show via email, info@seculo.com.